Okay, so today I'm gonna talk about induced representation. So this will be section four, induced. Anyway, this is really a vast subject, and some people spend their whole career on it, on this subject. And so I have to summarize everything in an hour. So that's really a tough job. So basically, I will try to explain using examples and not going to so much a theory. Okay, so in order to define induced representations, I have to first define so-called Harish-Chandra homomorphisms. You can do it using modulus characters or parabolic, and that's another way. I mean, basically they are the same. I'll explain in a minute. So first we have to let me define the Harish-Chandra homomorphisms. So those who went to Arthur's course, they already saw this, the HHP. So they basically they're the same. Okay, so let me just assume that G is a split group, split algebraic group, and P is the parabolic subgroup. So this is the parabolic subgroup. Okay, then if it's a split group defined over a field F, and if F is a periodic field, if F is a periodic, so then we have a Iwasawa decomposition. So the rational F rational point is the F rational point of the parabolic subgroup times this maximal compact subgroup. So if it's F is periodic, we assume that O is a ring of integers. So a ring of integers. It's a ring of integers. So we have this, I think you've seen this already in the Jim Carter's lecture. This is called the Iwasawa decomposition. So in general, so for example, if F is a real Archimedean place, then we have to take some special maximal compact subgroup. Or if it's a ring of others, then we'll have to take some special maximal compact subgroup. So in general field, this will be some maximal compact for some maximal compact. And so now A is the connected component of the center. Of M. And I proved earlier that the group of characters of M is a subgroup of characters of A with a finite index. This I proved in the first lecture. So that and these are abelian groups. So if you take a tensor product, they are the same. The tensor product with these are basically the same. This is a finite index. So we'll denote this group by a German A is a frog A, German A. Okay. Okay, I know A star. So let me denote by A star. And now A will be A will be the dual. So it will be the dual. It will be the homomorphism of X star M R. This will be the dual of A star. So we'll define the pairing. So we'll define the pairing by lambda chi tensor R. Here lambda is in A and chi is in chi tensor R is in A star. So we define this pairing to be, we just lambda chi R. So we have a natural pairing, it's a dual. Okay, so let me first define Hartree-Chan homomorphism for F, the local field. F is local field. It's local. So we define the homomorphism HM. So we denote homomorphism. F rational point to A by in the following map. So this will be chi HM M. So this pairing is the pairing we have in the pairing. So this is, we define this to be chi M, the absolute value. So this is the absolute value. So local field with absolute value. With absolute value. This is the absolute value. So the exponential function, if f is a periodic, if f is periodic, basically this exponential function is replaced by the cube V, replaced by just cube is the number of the residue field. And so we can extend this to whole parabolic subgroup by extending it trivial to unipotent radical. So we extend HM to PF by extending it trivially. Trivially on NF. Okay. And we can extend further to GF by using this Iwasawa decomposition. So by extending trivially on K. So by extending by using Iwasawa decomposition. And so trivial on the maximal compact subgroup. Okay. So we'll denote this Hartree-Chandra homomorphism by HP. So HP will be the map from GF to A. So that will be the map. So HP M and K, so exponential map, chi, so that will be chi M. So that will be our definition of the Hartree-Chandra homomorphism. Okay, so this homomorphism is the one they use in the trace formula to truncate things. So that's this is used in other context. So now let's look at F is a global field. So global, so number field. And we can define the same thing. So so if chi is a character, if it's a chi is a character of the Lebesgue subgroup, remember that chi is character means that chi is defined by a polynomial with coefficients in F. Okay? So that means the chi is defined, is a polynomial. It's defined by a polynomial with coefficients in F. So that means that F is clearly belongs to FV. Okay? So the completion. F is the completion at V. So the chi defines a homomorphism. So chi defines a homomorphism. M FV, the FV rational points to FV non-zero element. So chi naturally defines between FV rational points. So we'll define just same letter by chi. Okay. So we can define. So we define our Harishchandra homomorphism, the global one, from M A. So this to A by basically the same formula. So you get chi HM M to be the product. So anyway, this chi is defined over all fields, so M V, and then you take we take absolute value here, absolute value, and then take a product. So M will be M V in M A. Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. It's defined by that one. Oh, that formula, why does that formula defines HM uniquely? Okay. Okay, so anyway, this infinite product is okay. So let me make a remark that this infinite product is well defined. Actually, this is actually a finite product. Because let me just make a brief remark. So chi is defined by a polynomial with coefficients in F. So that means that almost all places, these coefficients will be in the unit. It will be a unit. It will be the integer. It'll okay, so let me remember. So for almost all V, the chi MV will belongs to MOV. Chi MV. So by the property of this restrict tensor product, for almost all V, this is in the compact set. And also for almost all V, the coefficients are in this ring of integers. So if you take a absolute value, it will be 1. So chi and V, it belongs to all V cross for almost all. So this is a finite product. So this is a finite product. So we call this And also you can see easily that these are oaken, in the same way we can extend to all the parabolic subgroups. So we can see that this is just the product of all the local Harishchandra so basically the product of the local Harishchandra homomorphism. So this is called the Harishchandra homomorphism. And so we'll use this homomorphism to define an induced representation. And these are related to modulus functions. So HP is related to modulus function, modulus character of P. So let me denote modulus character delta P. So this modulus character is, since P is not a unimodular group, the left and right homages are different. They are equal. So the ratio, so this will be the ratio, of the left and the right homage. So we denote by delta P. Okay. So another way of defining the modulus character is using the adjoint representation. So remember the adjoint representation. So if you look at the G to endomorphism of the Lie algebra, so you can send G to X goes to GX, G inverse. And now we restrict this adjoint representation to M. So you can restrict to M to endomorphism of N. So N is the Lie algebra, Lie algebra of N. So you send M to X to goes to M X M inverse. And this is well defined because M normalized N. N is normalized. Normalizes M. So this is well defined. And so this modulus character, so we can see that the fact is that this modulus character is none other than a determinant of this linear transformation. So this is the determinant of, so this is a linear transformation of this vector space, and if you take a determinant, that's the modulus character. Oh yeah, I'm sorry, you have to take an absolute value. Okay, so that's the modulus character. So what is the relationship between this one and that? So this is, the relationship is that so you can see that this is you can see that this is two rho p m to the absolute value. Here, 2 rho p is the sum of positive roots, in n. Okay, so let me remind you. Okay. This is a quick digression. If P is given by this theta, so theta is any standard parabolic subgroup corresponds to the subset of the simple roots. Okay, so this is a simple roots. And this, if you write, there's a Levy decomposition, N was the product of U alpha where alpha belongs to positive roots minus, let me denote by sigma theta. Here, sigma theta is the intersection with phi. So you take, you get rid of all the roots generated by this theta. Okay? And so if you take all, if you multiply all this one-dimensional unipotent subgroup, so then you get this unipotent radical. So so you take you sum all these positive roots here. So that's the 2 rho p. That's the I'm gonna take. Okay? So 2 rho p is the sum of positive roots in the phi plus minus sigma there. Yeah? You have a question? Two rho p as a, I'm considering as a character. Okay, I guess confusing arises because when I write E1 plus E2, I mean, let's say SP4 case. So E1 minus E, when I write E1 minus E2, so I'm actually thinking of this as a character of sending this T1, T2, T2 inverse, T1 inverse goes to T1, T2 inverse. So that's the roots. That's the character I'm thinking of. Okay, so the exponential of T rho P H P M, so this is T times 2 rho P H P M, so this is half, so it's okay. T half. So you get, so basically this is 2 rho p m to the absolute value of t to the half. Okay, so that's by our definition of the Harishchandra homomorphism. So this is the character t to the half, and by our relationship there, this is just the modulus character to the t to the half. So this Harishchandra homomorphism is basically related to this modulus character. Okay, I mean, it will be clear if I do examples. Okay, so let me, so let's look at the example. So example is, let's take a Borel subgroup. Let's say take a Borel subgroup. Okay. So any element in the torus can be written as a, remember that we are talking about the Chevalier groups. So let's just take a Chevalier groups. So this is the Chevalier groups. And any element in the torus can be written as a written in this form HI TI I equals 1 through L. Here alpha 1 through alpha L are simple roots. Okay, so remember the HRFI, so this is basically the chorus. So any element in the torus can be written this way, uniquely. So then the, okay, yeah, simply connected, yeah. I mean, I defined it only simply connected. Okay, anyway, so the, if you look at the rho B is the half sum of all positive roots, and HB, T, and if you compute this, and you can see that this is the product of Ti, the absolute value, I equals 1 through L, and you have to calculate rho B alpha I. You have to calculate this. And our claim is that this is all 1. So remember that this is 2 times rho B, alpha I, alpha I, alpha I. So this is, this was the definition of the bracket, and this is an integer. Okay? And our claim is that this is all 1 for all I. So basically this is, this will be just the product of the absolute value. Okay, I'll leave that as an exercise, just to exercise in the root system. Okay, okay, now let's assume that the P is a maxima. P is a maxima. So now is a maxima parabolic. And S is now complex numbers. So maximal means that P is P theta, where theta is delta minus alpha. So you get rid of only one simple root. Okay? So now we set alpha tilde, we set alpha tilde to be 1 over rho P alpha, rho P. So this will belongs to A star. A star. So remember that A star, if G is a semi-simple, this will be a one-dimensional space. So this is the, okay, I mean, if you're not familiar with it, then let me then just think of examples. I'll do the examples in a minute. And so this alpha tilde is, in fact, is the fundamental weight. Fundamental weight corresponding to alpha. I mean, if you are not familiar with the fundamental weight, then you don't have to worry about it. Okay, so let's look at examples. So examples is, let's take a Ziegler parabolic subgroups. So you have M is isomorphic to GLN. Let's take a Ziegler parabolic. So P will be, P corresponds to theta, where theta will be delta minus 2EN. So remember that the simple root system of SPN is delta is E1 minus E2, E2 minus E3, EN minus 1 minus EN, and 2EN. So this is the simple root system of type CN. So this is type CN. Okay. So now we'll, let's look at the maximal parabolic by getting rid of this one. And so you have to compute the rho P. So in this case, you can see that M is isomorphic. So M will be of this form. It will be M 0, 0 minus JN, M transpose inverse J, where J is 1, 1. So that will that form. Okay? And so you compute the, so in this case, sigma theta will be, you, all the roots generated by this one. So that's exactly EI minus EJ, where I, J, N. Okay, so you get rid of all that, and the sum all the positive roots, then you get the following result. So this, it will be N plus 1 divided by 2, E1 plus EN. So you get this. And so alpha tilde, if you compute according to that, then you can get rid of this one. So it will be E1 plus EN. Okay. So according to our computation, so then the Harishchandra, in this case, the exponential map, X alpha tilde, HP, M. So in this case, this is just the determinant of M to the S. So here M is M, you have to take a F rational point. Okay, you can see this, or you can compute the modulus character explicitly. So if you take a sp2n of this form, so this set of g in sl2n, such that g transpose 0 I minus I 0 g 0 I minus I 0. So if you take a symplectic group of this form, so then the in this case, the M will be just the M0 minus M transpose inverse, and the N will be I0, 0, 0, I, X. Here, X is the M by N symmetric matrices. Okay. So in this case, the adjoint representation so adjoint representation will send x to m x m transpose. So m prime, let's say m prime. Okay, so then I'll leave that as an exercise. So you have to compute the determinant of this. So this is a linear algebra problem. So exercise is, so the determinant of the adjoint, this linear transformation, is precisely determinant of M to the N plus 1. I'll leave that as an exercise. So it's a linear algebra problem. All right, so this is now, the second example, so this is example one. And the second example is, let's take a similar thing, but now instead, odd orthogonal group. The odd orthogonal group, where here theta will be delta minus EN. So this is the group of type BN. So the simple root system is now this time the simple root system is here, this EN. Now we get rid of EN, then you get this maximal parabolic subgroup. So in this case again, M is isomorphic to GLN, the same thing. And this is it's a similar example. Okay, so in this case, the alpha tilde is slightly different. So in this case, rho p, you can compute. So you just compute the same way. Then n over 2, e1 plus en, and the alpha tilde is, in this case, becomes now 1 half. So you have 1 half there. And so, S alpha tilde HPM, this now becomes determinant of M to the S over 2. S over 2. Okay, so here S over 2 shows up. That's a very important normalization. Okay. Now another use of this Hausdorff homomorphism is to if we consider kernel, so we can so let me continue assume that M is maximal. So maximal is so in this case A will be isomorphic to R. So now we are assuming that G is the semi-simple. So this is semi-simple. So we can look at the kernel. So we write kernel. The kernel by M A 1, M A 1. Okay. So then we have a direct product decomposition. So MA is isomorphic to MA1 times the center. The center is AR plus. AR plus. Here, remember that since AP is a maximal, A is isomorphic to GL1. GL1. So AR plus is isomorphic to R plus. So if you are not familiar with it, then you just look at examples. Let's say M is GLN. So in this case, A will be the center. A will be the center. A will be the center. So the kernel will be everything except a positive real numbers in the diagonal. So that will be the AR plus. So this AR plus, this is, you can, sometimes you can think of this as alpha tilde of the chorus of alpha tilde T. T to the 1 of n. Here, T is in the positive real numbers. Here, n is alpha tilde, the alpha tilde. Alpha tilde check. Okay, so, and we can see that, and also we can see that the MF, the F rational points will be included in this kernel. It's included in the kernel. And that's similar to the F is a product formula in the okay. So we have this two factoring gives the following decomposition. So MA, MF is MF, MA1 times AR plus. So we'll use this decomposition later on. at all. And so this group is not compact in general, not compact, but it does have a finite volume, okay? It does have finite volume. And so let me give an example first. So let's look at the example of where, let's say M is GL1, for example. So if M is GL1, so you already know this decomposition. So M is GL1, basically M, A is basically the, it's an ideal. So this is a, sometimes they denote by I. So this is an ideal. It's a group of ideals. And so we have this absolute value from I to R plus. So we have absolute value defined by absolute values. Absolute value. And the kernel is, so kernel is I1, I1. And by the product formula, the F, F cross belongs to I1. Okay. So we have the following decomposition. I is I1 times R plus. Okay, because R plus is embedded into I in the following way. So T goes to T1 of N, T1 of N, 1, 1, like that. So this is in the Archimedean places, and this is in non-Archimedean places. Okay, so so we have the following decomposition. So F cross I is isomorphic to F cross I1 times F infinity plus. So we denote F infinity plus will be U 1 1. So this will be in the Archimedean places, and this is a non-Archimedean place. And the U is a positive real number. And in this case, we know that this is a compact set. So this is compact. Is compact. Okay, so later on, so this is normalization of cuspidal representations of M. So we normalize the cuspidal representations of M so that it is trivial on here. So that's this is the normalization we'll use throughout this course. So we require that pi is trivial on AR plus. So basically, remember that the cuspidal representation we studied this morning, cuspidal representation of functions on this space. Okay? And we require that this is trivial here. The reason we do that is later on when you construct the Eisenstein series, we want the Eisenstein series to be on the poles of Eisenstein series to be on the real axis. By putting requirement that this is trivial here, because we don't want this kind of cuspidal, given any cuspidal representation, we could have this kind of we can twist by the characters of this group, okay? So then it will shift the poles around, up and down. So by getting rid of this, we can basically make poles on the real axis. So we don't want to consider. Yeah, it's just normalization. Yeah, that's right. It's normalization. Okay, so now I will define the induced representation. So today I will define the first for local field, and then next time I will define for global induced representation. So now everything is local here. That is local. Okay, now pi w is an irreducible, admissible representation of M F. Okay, so let's say we are given irreducible admissible representation of F rational points of the Levy. And so now let me denote I as pi. So this will be our induced representation. So sometimes we use the following notation: I and the F P G pi tensor with S alpha tilde HP. So this is the representations on M. Okay. And then many times we skip this part. So we are putting the trivial characters on the Levy, I mean the unipotent radical. We trivially induce. So we trivially extend this representation on M to whole parabolic, and now we induce to G. So this is the induced representation. And so what is the representation space? So the representation space V, V as pi, is the following space. So this is the set of all functions from GF to W, such that F satisfies the following condition: M and G is equal to pi M, so this exponential of S alpha tilde plus rho P HP M FG. Here, M is in MF, N is in NF, and G is in GF. So this is the representation space, and this acts on this space by right translation. So the action is that G. So representation means that we have a G action here. So action is, so this will be, this will clearly belongs to, and we have to verify that belongs to, so this is the space function on F. So we define this function to be just the right translation. Okay. So this is the definition of induced representation. Okay, so I mean the reason we put this part is also again the normalization purpose. The reason we put this factor is when s is unitary, s is 0, then we will not make this in this representation to be unitary. So that's the whole purpose of putting it there. Okay, so just the normalization purpose. So again, example is, I mean, so this is kind of intimidating. This fact is kind of intimidating, but just it's a simple fact. So for example, in the example I gave, in the Ziegler parabolic case, M is GLN. Let's say pi is a representation of GLN F. So then the our induced representation is just you don't have to use the Harris-Chandra homomorphism. We can just give explicitly what they are. So this will be just none other than induced representation, inducing from pi tensor with the determinant. The determinant to the S power. So this is the representation of GLN. You just put the, this is a character you twist by determinant character. So you just induce, so you don't have to use Harris-Chandra homomorphism. So we call this a parabolic induction. So let me just briefly look at the special case. Special case of principal series. So we are inducing from characters of torus, basically. So B is TU, is a Borel. It's a Borel subgroup. And chi is a character of torus. So we have this induced representation, I mu chi, is induced from B to G, chi mu HB. It should be there. But I think I computed over there. I computed over there. This is just the characters. This is a character of the torus. So we can basically observe this character to chi. Okay, so we can observe this character to chi. So we can just denote by I chi. So we just take chi to be so quasi character. So we can we can just look at the I chi. So we just, this is a induced representation. Just induced from chi. Chi is now any quasi character of T. So the representation space, V chi is just a set of functions from GF to C such that the F, T, U, G satisfies the following condition. Rho B, H B, T, F G. Okay, so this is the representation space. So especially, let's look at the example of GL2 case. So GL2 case, chi is, so now, the torus is so diagonal matrix. Okay, so there will be two characters, mu1 and mu2. And so in this case, the Harris-Chandra homomorphism, so A1, let me denote A1, A2. A1, A2. This is just the A1, A2 inverse, absolute value to the one half. So the I, let me denote by I mu 1 mu 2. So this is an induced representation. On the space. So induced representation space is V mu 1 mu 2. This is set of functions from GL to F to C such that F satisfies the following condition. So this satisfies the mu 1 A1 mu 2 A2, A1, A2 inverse to the 1 half Fg. So this is the space of functions. Okay, so then you can prove that this is in the Jacquet-Langlands, or probably the recent one is the Bump, Daniel Bump book, Automorphic Forms and Representation. We can prove that this is mostly irreducible. Okay, so this is the fact. So we can show that mu1, mu2 is irreducible. Most of the cases, except unless mu1, mu2 inverse is equal to this, just the absolute value of plus minus 1. So this character, okay, is irreducible. And in this case, we can write mu1, mu2 as follows. So we can write mu 1 half mu minus 1 half, where mu is now unitary character. So in this case, we can write this way, or shuffle around if you want. So you can write this way, then this is irreducible. This is reducible. And let's denote the representation space V. And this is reducible. And we can show that this has a unique irreducible subspace. So let me denote by W and 0. So we have this composition series. And the restriction of this induced representation to this irreducible subspace is square integrable. So we can show that. So sigma W is square integrable. And we call this a Steinberg representation. And it turns out that the quotient is a one-dimensional space. So tau V, the quotient, is a one-dimensional space. This is one-dimensional. So this is none other than, so tau is just none other than just the character. So mu determinant of M is just mu M times determinant of M, or mu determinant of M. Okay, so this is the one-dimensional representation of GL2. Okay, so I will look at the principal series representation next time, in 2 weeks time, and then I will classify the spherical. What are spherical representations? Spherical representations are basically sub-quotients of this principal series. And then I'll define, so we can look at semi-simple conjugates class, where the semi-simple conjugates class showing up. That's right, yeah, principles. Yeah. Okay, so let me make a quick digression on the admissible representation. I mean, I already used the word square integral. So for those who never heard about admissible representations, I will basically make a quick digression on the admissible representation. I will just briefly write the main theorems of admissible representations, including the Langlands classification. Okay, and then I will finish there, and then from next week, I will start intertwining operators. And two weeks time, I'll define intertwining operators, and I'll especially look at the spherical representations. Okay. All right. No. I'm observing this part into chi, so that will be a quasi character. Okay. I mean, if you want to separate mu, then you can always assume that chi is unitary. Because you can put... because if mu 1 times mu 2 inverse is that absolute value, then you can... because if mu 1 and mu 2 then you can write the mu 1 to be the mu times absolute value 1/2. And mu 2 to be mu minus 1/2. Yeah, take mu to be unitary character. Yeah. Okay, so let me make a quick digression on the admissible representations. Now G is again, I mean, this can be any reductive group, and so in order not to repeat F, so let me just take G to be the rational points. Okay, so F is now local, it's a local field, and pi V is a representation of G, say representation of G. Now if K is a subgroup of G, we can define VK. So VK is basically the set of vectors where pi K V is V for all K in V. Okay, so the now definitions, so there are several definitions. So pi V is called a smooth. So it's called a smooth representation if every V lies in VK for some open subgroup. Yeah, P added, yeah. Open so let's say okay, P added. I guess you can do it for Archimedes, it's more complicated. Okay, so it's a smooth, I mean, so this condition is equivalent to that the pi is continuous to with respect to some topology. Okay. And second, pi V is admissible, I guess Jim talked about this earlier, admissible if it is smooth and VK has a finite dimension. this is the any compact. I mean, it's open means it's compact also. It's in periodic. Open subgroup K. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, thanks. A finite dimension for all open subgroup. Okay, so this is admissible. And three, pi v is supercuspidal. Supercuspidal basically means that pi cannot be embedded. Pi cannot be any subquotients of any induced representations. So let me write down. For every proper parabolic subgroups, P, and any admissible representations, sigma of M, so P has a Levy decomposition, and the homomorphism from G homomorphism from V to this induced representation is zero. So in other words, this pi cannot be inside any induced representation. Okay? So these supercuspidals are basically the building block of all admissible representations. And we can also show that, so this fact is that I should have denoted earlier, if sigma is admissible, and then the induced representation is, any induced representation is admissible. Okay, so let me just make a quick this. I should have denoted earlier. And there are a couple of equivalent criterion for supercuspidality. Okay, so I'm not going to that. So one is using a Jacquet module. So this is equivalent to. So that is equivalent to. So the following are equivalent criterion for being supercuspidal. So one equivalent criterion is the Jacquet module. So anyway, some people spend the whole career on Jacquet module. I know one person. Okay, so Jacquet module is zero for any unipotent radical. Yeah, supercuspidals are building blocks. Okay, I'll write the Jacquet theorem. So basically any representation, any admissible representation will be subquotients of induced representation from supercuspidals. Okay, so this is one is, so anyway, I'm not going to mention Jacquet module. Another criterion is that their matrix coefficients is compactly supported. So okay, so let me write down that. So the matrix coefficient. So matrix coefficients, so let me denote by V and V tilde G. So this is pi G V V tilde. Here V is in V and V tilde is in V tilde. So V tilde is the dual space. So this is the dual of V. So this matrix coefficients is has compact support. Compact support on G modulo Z. Modulo Z, the center of G. Okay. All right, so So this is supercuspidal, and now square integrable. Square integrable is for pi v is square integrable. Or sometimes we call this discrete series. Discrete series representation. If, yeah, the continuation of the definition, yes. Not equivalent, okay, I'm sorry. So this is, I should have said. So these are all supercuspidal things. Okay, so continuation from here. So this square integrable, if the matrix coefficients is a square integrable, basically. If this is a square integrable, modulo center. And so the classifying square integrable representation is still an open problem besides GLN. I mean, for classical groups like symplectic group or other orthogonal group, is only recently is all the square integral representation have been classified. So it's still open problem for many groups. And fifth, pi v is tempered. So tempered means if these matrix coefficients. Matrix coefficients is not square integrable, but 2 plus epsilon g. Let's see, for every epsilon. So matrix coefficients is in 2 plus epsilon space. Okay? And this is equivalent to so. Basically, this is equivalent to the fact that this pi v is equivalent to pi is a direct sum end of the induced representations. I 0 sigma, where sigma is a unitary. Actually, I don't have to put unitary because square integrable. So square integrable representation of M. Okay, so square integrable, yeah. Oh, okay. Unitary. Okay. All right. So it has unitary central cap. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Okay. Unitary. Okay. All right. Oh, I guess. Okay. So it has a unitary central character. Okay. Unitary central character. Okay. Again, then we can talk about being a square integral. Alright, so. But anyway, so if you have a unitary induction, so if you put zero here, okay, so this will be the unitary induction. And as we talk about this is unitary representation, so any unitary representation is decomposed as a direct sum. Okay, so any one of the direct sum end is called, is a tempered. Okay, and so, to find determining the direct sum ends and also its multiplicity is the subject of R-group theory. So determining, I mean, that's the huge, again, it's a huge subject. So determining the direct sum ends so this is a unitary induction. This is a unitary induction. Determining direct sum ends and they are multiplicities. is the subject of R group theory. All right, so where this R, I don't know, R group. R is basically this is the commuting group, algebra of intertwining operators, and this is again also the subgroup of R group. Basically, R group will be the subgroup of R group elements. I don't know where the R group come from. Okay, so the proposition is due to Jacquet is that that pi v is the any irreducible admissible representation, then there exist parabolic subgroup, and sigma supercustodial representation of M such that pi is actually you can embed pi is the sub representation of this induced representation. Mu I used okay so sigma X. You can actually embed any induced representations. Okay. Okay. So even though so V will be in general it will be infinite dimensional space. Okay. So we are talking about infinite dimensional representations. I mean, most of the interesting representations are all infinite dimensional in the automorphic forms, and even though it is infinite dimensional, we can still talk about composition series. I mentioned briefly over there. So that's the usual phenomena. You have finite composition series. So I'll finish that. So let I nu sigma v be in the induced representation. So here P is Mn, P is P theta. Okay, so then even though this is usually irreducible in most of the time, generic case, but it can, if it is reducible, it still have a, so number one, so there is a composition series. So there exists a composition series. So let me denote by 0, Vn, Vm minus 1, V1, V0. Okay, so it has a composition series, and each quotients we call sub quotients. So we can look at the representation on this quotient space. This we call this subquotients. So this is called subquotients of I nu sigma. So in our case, in that example, we have two subquotients there. And second, if especially if sigma is if sigma is a supercluster, then the number of, so I here I will be from 0 to n minus 1. So the number of subquotients are limited. They're bounded by number of bi group elements. So then the n is less than equal to number of the bi group elements, theta here. So this is the set of the bi group elements which sends theta to theta. Theta is the subset of simple roots which determines this parabolic subroots. Okay. So especially if a P is maximal parabolic, so then in that case, this is either 1 or 2. So if we induce from maximal parabolic, so you'll have either 1 or 2 subquotients. So one is a square integrable, and the other one is the so-called Langlands quotient, which I will talk about next time. Okay, so, and three, if pi is any subquotient, So this, we continued assume that sigma is supercusped. So if pi is any subquotient, then we can shuffle around by the bi group elements, and we can make it to the actually sub representation. So there exist the bi group elements such that pi is actually a sub representation of this induced representation. So this is the your bi group acts on this representation and this complex parameter. So we can make it a sub actually. What? Yeah, we are assuming here. Yeah, okay, so irreducible. All right. Okay, so I have, I have 5 minutes. I can write down the Langlands classification, and then I'll finish that. Okay, so now suppose sigma is tempered. So now again, I'm looking at this situation. Now I'm looking at this induced representation, and I'll assume that the sigma is tempered. Okay, tempered. Okay, then the definition is that we say this induced representation is in the Langlands situation. So in Langlands situation, so that means that we are trying to put the condition on this complex parameter. If the real part of nu and alpha check is greater than 0 for all alpha is in delta minus theta. Here, the P is corresponding to theta. So remember that nu was the complex parameter. Okay, so let me look at, I mean, this this condition is kind of very abstract, but in GLN case, we can this is a concrete meaning. We can see exactly what that means. Okay, GLN case. So GLN case, we have this induced representation. Pi 1, determinant of R1, pi k, determinant of Rk. So here we are, so P is Mn, M is isomorphic to GLn1, GLnk. So we are looking at this induced representation. And so that induced representation is a Langlands situation, means that here pi I is tempered. So it's in the Langlands situation, basically means that R1, so it's a Langlands situation, means that R1 is greater than R2. So this is just written in the decreasing order, basically. That's what that means. And actually, so even though mu is in the complex number, we can observe, I observed the imaginary part into pi 1. So we observed, the imaginary part. Mu inside pi I. So remember that pi chi G, chi is the character, the character of FB, F, then you can define this to be pi G times chi to the determinant of G. So sometimes this, we denote this by pi tensor chi. Okay? So whenever you have a imaginary part, we can observe into pi 1. That will be still tempered. Okay? So we can assume that R's are all real numbers. So okay, so then we have the following proposition of this is called the so-called the Langlands classification. So suppose I nu sigma is in the Langlands situation. Okay, I will be done in 2 minutes. Then the conclusion is that I nu sigma has a unique irreducible quotient. Is called a Langlands quotient. Okay? So in general, this is the quotient. So a quotient means that quotient means V minus V1. So this is the quotient. In general, this is not irreducible. But if it is in the Langlands situation, that's irreducible. Okay? And it usually denoted by, so many times we denote by J nu sigma. J nu sigma. And next time I'll define the intertwining operator. So I'll define intertwining operator from I nu sigma to W naught nu, W naught sigma. And this Langlands quotient is exactly the image of this intertwining operator. Okay? So we'll study this intertwining operator next time. And this is the first statement. The second statement is that any irreducible admissible representations pi of G occurs uniquely as some J mu sigma. Okay. So given pi, this data nu sigma and P is determined uniquely. So we call P nu sigma Langlands data. Pi. And so these are uniquely determined by pi. Okay? So this is called the Langlands classification theorem. And so this will be very useful in later on when we analyze. Okay, so one of the main theorem, so-called the standard module conjecture, is, I mean, Jim talked about today, about generic representation. And basically the conjecture is that if pi is generic, remember that, the Reka model, then the pi has to be this whole thing. So pi is a quotient, okay? But actually, this has to be the whole thing. So that's the conjecture. That's called standard module conjecture. And it's not proved in general. Okay, so next time I'll start with the intertwining operators.